Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you on this blessed Sunday. This is Brother Nate with the Church of Christ Eliza message on the broadcast entitled Jesus Word, the Midnight Cry Broadcast. The phone number is 515-605-9887. That's 515-605-9887. If you're having a prayer request, we'll pray with you. Having a question about the lesson, we do our best in the Lord Jesus answers for you. If you're having the comments, we ask that you limit it to a minute and a half to 2 minutes. And if you call to get information on how to obtain a copy of the messages the Lord has been sending through his angel messenger, we will get that to you as well. For those of you that don't like giving your prayer requests or your comments over the air, contact us at NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. That's NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. And once again, we will get back to you. Amen. So, thank God for all you listening to us at this 7:01 hour Central Standard Time here in the United States. This is Brother Nathaniel Hunt with Church Christ Eliza Message on the broadcast entitled Love Thy Neighbor on Jesus Word, the Midnight Cry broadcast. And as we wait for our brother Eddie Lee and the sister to come on, I want to thank the Lord for all of you that is listening far and near. And may the Lord continue to bless you, your family, and your loved ones in Jesus' name. Amen. Truly, it is a blessing to be here today. Our prayers go out to, and I know some of you may have heard what happened at the church. Joel Osteen, pastor, a woman come in with a five-year-old child, and she had a trench coat on, and they said it was a rifle, and she started shooting in the church building. And there were two off-duty officers there who I think returned fire back. They end up killing her. The five-year-old child is rushed to hospital. The child's in critical condition. I heard what they were saying on there. 57-year-old man, he got struck. One report said he got struck in the leg. The other said, I think the one of the officers said he got hit in the hip. And they said as they struck her and she went down, she said she had a bomb. So they said they searched her. She had a backpack on. They searched there. They searched her vehicle, didn't find none. But they said she was spraying something on the floor. Now, they did not elaborate what was she spraying on the floor. They said some kind of crew that came in to look at it. But they never, from the reports I've seen, they never said that they found out what was it that she was spraying on the floor. So I guess more details will come out on that. They only reported she was the only one. They were talking to another witness who was there. I kind of think the lady got confused. I believe the lady felt it was two shooters because she said she saw a man with a gun, like a long pipe on it or something. She said he was shooting. And from what I'm gathering, she may have thought he was another shooter, but he was one of those off-duty officers. So I guess Joe Osteen and him have employed some kind of, I don't think I can just look at it, some kind of protective unit there or whatever, you know, in order for these off-duty cops to have guns on them while they're in the building. So, but thank God that more didn't get hurt. To say the lady was between 30 and 35 years of age. And there, you know, has to be a reason she come in there. People, I have to say this, you know, we're seeing more why applying the protective power of the blood, I'm talking about faith, really believing is the thing. And I know that there's some things we have to do in life to protect ourselves. Is not going to be the number one thing because you can't watch over yourself or everything every second, every minute. But we're going to, sad to say, hear more of this as the time lie ahead. I just want to say to you all that's listening, especially those of you that are Christians, pray and cover yourself in the blood every day. Every day. Because, you know, we hear a lot about the people saying the guns, gun control. But like I told some folks at on my job, you know, they talking about doing extra background checks and stuff like that. But you never know what's on people's mind. God bless you, brother.
Well, shalom. Shalom, Mashiach. As you were completing your statement, God bless.
You heard of the news that happened today at the Joel Osteen church where he pastored, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I was looking at the reports on that. And I was just telling the people that we got to keep ourselves covered in the blood. I guess those two off-duty officers must have been there. I don't know if they was there. You know, some of the churches are, quote, getting security, you know, in order for them to have been there and already had guns shooting. I don't know, whether, you know, they was part of, you know, because some of these churches are, you know, getting and hiring, you know, off-duty officers, especially, you know, since that shooting happened, what, 5-6 years ago, when that young fellow went in there, went into the, what was it, all-black church, what is his name, Dylan, and went to shooting, and, you know, the thing came up about protection. But I was just looking at with this lady here, you know, and the five-year-old child's, they last said was in critical condition. So, you know, our prayers go out. Yeah.
Yes. Our prayers and faith go out to, we thank God that it was not more serious, you know. Because it could have been, you know, another one of the mass. So we're thankful, God, that that didn't occur because, you know, in a gathering of that sort, that could have happened. And whoever that started this could have been a really terrible tragedy. But thank God that it was not as tragic as we have seen before. So we're thankful for that and grateful. The prayers for the church and its people and those that were gathered there. And it used to be that if you were in the house of the Lord years ago, no such things would happen. Because it's back 30 or 40 years, people still had a fear, some kind of fear of reverence for the house of God. And things like that did not happen 40 years ago because even sinners had a kind of respect and a fear about the house of the Lord and would not enter into the house of the Lord. They might do something to people outside. But now people have these people who have mental problems are most like a demon influence, don't have any fear by the gathering of people in the house of the Lord. So it's that spirit of violence and killing is permeating the house of God. So
I don't know if you remember, this was in the 90s. I know Brother Clark, and I'm told, I don't know if he ever had told you about it, but Brother Clark, the first one I've heard, it was in the 90s, and I don't remember, he told us about a dream that the Lord gave him that people was going to come into. This is before, you know, stuff like this really started happening. This had to be in the 90s. I wouldn't say almost, maybe the mid-90s almost, but he told us how God had given him a dream. And he saw people coming in the church shooting and killing. And I remember he told us that dream. that God gave them, you know, for, you know, the things start happening like that. With
yes.
Shooting with the roof. Yeah.
Yes, we had, I remember that probably was in the 90s that we had been talking about that and saying that the day would soon come when they would come into the house of the Lord. And they started doing that back in the late, the late 90s. Back, they started a few, people started actually coming to the house of the Lord and robbing and doing different things. And it started escalating. And, yeah, Brother Clark and I have talked about that, I think, Brother Robert. And we had spoke about that, that would come, that would happen, start to begin. Yeah, I remember that. And so we spoke about some things that were in the future, like more young people were going to commit suicide, that there was going to be a spirit of suicide in households and families and different things that were going to occur in the future. So the Lord always warns people before disasters or things happen. Perhaps they can stand in the gap and intercede and prevent a lot of stuff. That's one of the reasons why the Lord warns people of disasters or things that are about to happen, so that they can take a stand on the rock of God and begin to intercede and stand in the gap and stop some of these. That's one of the things why intercession prayer is very important in the latter days, especially, so the saints can deter, hinder, or block certain things. That's one of the reasons why they get a far warning from the Lord, no doubt. And I'm sure that the devil will try certain things like that again and again, cause fear from gatherings and try to, you know, put fear into the saints from gathering together. But if they gather together, they can hinder, block a lot of things. If they band together in faith, in intercession, and command the authority of the hindrance of Satan to come among them to do that. From the natural point of view, if we're looking at it from a human natural point, it's almost, you can get, police in most, a lot of these large churches, and even some of the middle class children has, you know, as gods. I mean, what they call securities now. But even if that's so, by them having policemen or hiring policemen to do jobs or security, that's only so much you can do in the natural. You really can't prevent a lot of stuff, especially in mass gathering. You can deter something, but you just cannot do it from a physical standpoint, because too many people gathering, anyone can walk in, most unless you got up in a gathering like that and just, you know, open fire. It's just like the president. They can just protect the president only to a certain view, a point. But if someone wants to, just give their life, you know, you just can't prevent certain things.
Yeah.
And the only thing that can stop the unseen and the disasters is the intercessors and the prophetic, seeing these things before they happen and telling people to stand in the gap and deter the enemy. That's why I believe that in the scripture we have been talking about, why we need to intercede a lot more, is in Ezekiel chapter 22, 28, 30. The Lord said, I sought for a man, or even a woman now, to stand in the gap and make up the hedge, or stand in the breach and make up the head, that I may not destroy the land, or even stop Satan. A lot of things can be prevented. That's why the Lord warns in advance. And he gives warning. Before destruction comes, the trumpet is blowing in the city so they know that a note of destruction comes so they can do something. That means God has given us the ability to stop certain things and to hinder and block certain things. It's just like in the natural realm, when they say a storm is coming to the East Coast or West Coast, that's a warning for you to escape. They give weather broadcasts and say, well, look like a tornado is coming down this way, or we see a volcano is about to erupt, flee for your life, a warning, so that you can escape. And so, because that's the same thing in the spiritual realm. The Lord loves people, and he don't delight in judgment or destruction. And so in many cases, a warning will come. Now, 9/11 happened in the United States, but God does not let anything come. And listen to what he said. I think it's found in what, Amos 3, or what, 3 and 6, or what? The Lord will do nothing except he first, what, warn his prophet. Now,
right.
That means he will do nothing. Nothing is not slipping upon people. It's just that people that want to come, but they don't hear, they don't listen. 9/11, there was a few people that walked down the street or was walking in New York and warning the people about something was going to happen. And I understand that it was several men of God or women of God who were speaking. But who's going to listen to these fanatics? They don't heed. Like I told you before, before 9/11 happened, Brother Robert Gross and I was down almost in the loop of Chicago, and we was out, you know, passing out messages about the coming of Christ and the kingdom of God, messengers about the angel coming in this day. And he and I was down in near the loop. And we're near, got as close as we could. It's on the, because they didn't permit you to come downtown with a bullhorn or nothing like that. They'd stop you. So we came as close as we could. And he and I was on the sidewalk warning. And I remember, I think I had a bullhorn. And I began to speak, and I had forgot about it altogether. Then I began to speak, and I began to prophesy that New York was going to get hit, and a few more of the places were soon going to get hit. Now, I ain't forgot about that. That was about a year or 2 years before it happened. But the Lord always warns. This is the grace of God at work. He always sounds the alarm, because not only is a just and a holy God, he's a merciful and compassionate God. Things, if we live a certain place, God always gives a prophetic warning through a vision, dream, through an angel to warn us of certain things. And because he's a good God, and he does not delight even in destruction, even of the wicked. Now, these things that are happening, God has a prophetic voice will be speaking through his vessels. It could be a woman or a man, but they're going to sound the alarm. But like most people, when we was on the street, I remember Brother Rob and I was on the street that day down near the Loop of Chicago. So it was during lunchtime, and in the Loop, and the few people were walking by. We had our signs, and we had our signs on our back, and we was passing out the warning about the Lord and his word. And the people, you know, they looking at us like we nutty, you know, as they'd be passing by. And we had our billboards and signs, and I had my bullhorn. And not to the majority of the people were passing by, you know, just like they did in the day of Noah, when Noah was giving the alarm. So, you know, that's the way it is. The majority of the people will look at you and pass by you and make their remarks and pay hardly any attention. I don't know with anybody else, so. Has that happened?
Mm-hmm.
Any of the sisters that made it on, or are they all busy? I guess they haven't come in yet.
No, just you and I, brother.
Okay, well, that's all good. In the mouth of two or three, that's good. That's great. The warning will be found. What we're doing is, now this is just something that people need to take note of. Jesus said, it was going to be in Genesis 6 and Matthew 24, it was going to be similar or like as it was in the days of Noah. There's three distinct things happen in the days of days leading up to the final day. And then Jesus made another statement in Luke chapter 17, the motion, by saying, as it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, he was trying to give that us a notification of the full range things that would happen in our day preceding his coming. And he said it's going to be like Sodom and Gomorrah. Then he says in Matthew it's going to be like Noah's day. And we need to understand what was taking place preceding the message and the warning. We need to understand what took place preceding the Lord's destruction upon Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham was interceding because the Lord God warned Abraham in advance what he was going to do to those two cities or the other cities round about. And Noah, being a just and a righteous, interceded with the great Jehovah for those lives. And he stood in the gap and he negotiated as a mediator between God and man, and Abraham pleaded for them. And in the days of Noah, Noah warned them for, I don't know, was it 120 years or what? I don't know, because he built on the ark. And during that time, can you imagine what was taking place that the Lord gave and warned that he was going to destroy all flesh? I'm going to cut off all flesh that breathes. So here we find these things in our day. He said it's going to be the same like the day we live in. Same day. He said the same thing is going to happen as it was. And he said, as it was in the days of Noah. Then he says, as the days, go and look at what happened to the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, have we learned anything from those events? Have the people one, has the one taken note today? Are they comparing and looking what the Bible says and spoken? Jesus himself made this. So do you think that people are listening or take note or what?
No, brother, I don't. I really don't. I think that, you know, I can understand, you know, unbelievers, but I think of some of God's own people have taken for granted, you know, our faith when we pray and exercise in prayer and pleading the blood, you know, over ourselves daily and wherever we go. Because, you know, it's like you said, you know, in the natural, you can only do so much. And plus, if God don't reveal it unto you, you don't know what's on the mind of people. Okay? I mean, I know they've been hollering out gun control, you know, gun control,
yeah,
gun control then.
Yeah,
and they're looking at, okay, background checks, but everybody didn't fail the background check. Some people checked out just as fine. So, you know, you don't know what's on the person's mind if it's not revealed to you by the Lord. And I think that, you know, some of God's people really been taking for granted how we need to cover ourselves daily wherever we go.
Here's the thing that people misunderstand. And I think, and I've looked into that, and I've been and discerned and had a insight. For people misunderstand about sovereignty, free will. Now, often good God-fearing people will make these statements like, well, God is in charge of everything. I think that they misunderstand that when we who are given dominion in the earth, well, God is behind everything. You know, they make these statements without proper understanding the way of God and the way of creation. They make these statements. Well, God is in charge of it. I said, I know they mean well, but they don't understand. That's
Amen.
Not true. But you can't tell well-meaning great Christians, because they make these statements all the time. Well, God is in charge of everything. That's not true.
Yeah, they do.
This is the thing that they understand. Well, if God is in charge of everything, why is not everybody saved?
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Why does not prevent all the evil that's happened in the earth?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Why did he not stop Adam from a take?
Mm-hmm.
Why does God give the creation freedom to make choices that cause things to happen?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a place where God cannot act unless man acts?
Amen. It is.
This is the part that they don't understand when they make these statements. Well, God is in charge of everything. That sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
But is it actually true? No. No, it's not. God is not in charge of your actions.
Amen.
Firstly.
Yeah.
I'll say that again. God, the creator, Jehovah or Jesus, is not in charge, the sovereignty of your actions or your decisions.
Mm-hmm.
You see all this thing happening in the earth, all the evil and all the wicked, well, God is in charge of it. He must have caused it. And if he's in charge, I guess he must have caused it.
Oh, no.
But that's not true. But that's not true. We're not robots. When God created mankind, he gave them a mind, a spirit. He's a spirit, a mind. And he decides or make decisions that cause a consequence or a thing to happen. And God is not in charge of that.
Amen.
He did not motivate that. He did not do that. He did not initiate killing these mass killings and murders and violence. He's not in charge of those people. They made their independent action and choices, and God could not interfere with that.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he could not interfere with Adam. And I was a little kid. Why didn't he just stop in and stop Adam from doing that? I said, that don't make no sense to me. Why did God just stop Adam from doing that? You know, what's wrong here? He could just stop Adam. No, he couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't.
Amen.
Because he's bound by his word.
Mm-hmm.
He's
Amen.
Bound by his own word. He cannot interfere, stop you to making your own decision in most cases. But the prayers of the saints, of people, can provoke God to stand in. Why
Amen.
Is the power of the intercessor in God more important than people think?
Mm-hmm.
Why is the prayers of the righteous prevailing much?
Amen.
To counteract what Satan has planned. Why is when people live close to the Lord, God always gives a warning? That's why he says in Amos 3, the Lord will do nothing except he first what? Warned
revealed.
His prophet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It said he won't do anything unless he first give the warning to his prophet to speak
Amen.
And warn people.
Mm-hmm.
Do we get that?
Amen.
Do we get that?
Amen.
Do we understand that?
Yeah.
I every time I hear people, godly people, you know, always, well, God's in charge of everything. I mean, I know they mean well. I mean, they're good people. They're God-fearing people. But they do not understand God's ways. There is some, unless we act, there's some things God cannot act. Do you get that? Unless we act. You know what Jesus said? Whatsoever you bind on earth, I'll bind it.
Amen.
Interaction and agreement. Whatsoever you bind.
Yes.
Whatsoever you loose.
Mm-hmm.
I would loose.
Amen. Yeah.
These signs shall follow them that act.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In my name to the cast out devil.
Mm-hmm.
In my name, do this. Well, listen. When we provoke and break the law of God, there's always consequences. He said to Adam,
mm-hmm.
the day you eat of that tree and partake mm-hmm. of its fruit, this is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
He warned Adam.
Yes.
The
uh-huh.
day you do this, you shall surely die.
Amen.
Now, could he take back his word? No.
Mm-hmm.
He spoke a law into existence. If you rebel against my warning, the consequences is this.
Yes.
I give you free will to make your choice. What do they say to Israel? Choose life
mm-hmm.
or death.
Mm-hmm.
Choose life or death.
Amen. It's
your decision, he says. I can't interfere with it. Choose life, Joshua,
mm-hmm.
or choose death. And Joshua, as far as me and my house, I choose life.
Yes. Amen.
I choose life. The woman that wanted to be healed in Mark 15, she made up her mind and made a choice to agree. And she said, I'm going to touch the hem of his garment. There were a lot of sick people and dying people of leukemia and blood disease. But this one woman, all of those people that was touching Jesus, why didn't they get healed? But this
mm-hmm.
one woman pressed her way because she had made a decision, an agreement. She chose to believe.
Yeah.
She chose to believe.
Yeah.
She chose to believe.
Yes, Lord.
The Bible says God so loved the world. What did he do? To show that he
mm-hmm.
loved the world. He gave his only begotten son, but here's
yes.
the thing. This is what people forget. He gave his only begotten son for all people to have the right to eternal life. But whosoever believes,
mm-hmm.
whosoever believes shall not perish.
Amen.
But have eternal life. Whosoever choose to believe. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
There are things I know the Lord wants us to prevent and stop.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he gives the warning. There's some things no one can stop. There's a things in God that no prayer can stop.
Mm-hmm.
No decree can stop. They're called the unalterable decrees. That means
mm-hmm.
no prayer. That's why when Daniel was praying, he said, Ezekiel, he said, that's already a done deal. Your prayers won't help Israel. He told him, quit praying.
Mm-hmm.
So Daniel, one time he said, stop praying. I have decreed this. There's nothing your prayers can do. Now, there are those a few things. So we look at these things and look at the sovereignty of God and look at the sovereignty of man to choose life or what? Death.
Death. Mm-hmm.
Choose life. Or death, light, or darkness. Okay, now, as we go along, when Elijah the prophet was in the mountain, the king sent, I think, 50 military men to take him captive. But they said, the king wants you and we're taking you. And Elijah says to the great God, Jehovah, he says, If I be a man of God, let fire come down and destroy them.
I want to your face.
So fire fell down on the 50, and they were consumed.
Mm-hmm.
The king sent another 100 men to get Elijah, or whatever it was. Elijah said to the second group, if I be a man of God, let fire come down and destroy them. The king sent another group of men, but when they got to the mountain, they said, Mr. Elijah, please, please, please. They negotiated with Elijah. They were smart. They had some good sense. Mr. Elijah, please, would you And Elijah had compassion on them. He went down and went back with them because they pleaded for their life.
Mm-hmm.
They were spared.
Yeah.
They were spared. Hallelujah. Don't you know that in the Noah day, why he warned those people? Why God sent the last message to those people? He warned them because he loved, his love and compassion. He did not want them to be destroyed.
Amen.
He said, enter into the boat. Enter into the ark.
Mm-hmm.
But they would not. They did not.
Amen.
It is the same way today. Now, this war between Hamas and Israel is a prophetic sign and warning. It's in the scripture. If you unveil it, it's right there in the scripture. When you see this, hallelujah, it's a sign when he talks about Iran. Now, it's right there in Zechariah, and that's it. In Isaiah and Zechariah. When you see this happen between what's happening in Hamas and Israel and Ukraine at the same time, this is a prophetic sign.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as you read in Zechariah 12, the Lord God says to Israel, which is talking about far-reaching consequences, that when you see all people turn against Jerusalem, now you see all people begin to turn against Jerusalem, right?
Amen.
Even America's trying to turn against Jerusalem. Stop the war. You're killing them. Stop the war. Everybody's turning against Jerusalem. They're marching in the United States. The Palestinians and people are marching. There's all kind of marching. Stop the war. Israel, stop. And this is what Nathan New said. I will not stop until the enemy is destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
And God said, I will protect Jerusalem and I will deliver my people. Now, he says in Zechariah 12, even though all the world turn against Jerusalem, I will protect them.
Yeah.
So if America starts turning against Jerusalem, like it's prophesied, America going to start turning against Jerusalem. Don't you see this president is trying to make a political decision? I said a political decision to stop Israel from destroying their enemies who is trying to destroy them. And all the world that is turning against Israel, right? And
amen.
If you watch the news, listen to the news, look at the paper. This is a perfect, and America, when America start turning against Israel and said we want a two-state solution, but God has given Israel Jerusalem, and he's not given the Palestinians Jerusalem. He gave Israel, is supposed to be the land of them. And so when these presidents and governors said, well, we want two-state, let them have part of this and part of that, that's a sign. Well, anyway, I'm not going to go any further into that. But just know that we're going to start off tonight before we pray. I want you to read what the angel of revelation. Now, God gave us an angelic visitation called the angel of revelation in the last days. And it's found in several scriptures in Revelation. But the one that he said about this angel of Revelation would come is found in 18 chapter of Revelation chapter 1. I saw an angel come down from heaven with great power.
Yes.
And the light that he bring, what, filled the whole earth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what is that coming in the latter days? And he's coming to the earth. And the light that he bring, which is talking, actually talking about the word, the light, my word is a light and a lamp to your feet. His word that he's bringing is so powerful, it's supposed to fill the whole earth.
Yeah.
Now, he says in that Revelation, we're going to read what this angel, part of what he says. Turn to message 96. Will somebody turn to the angel's message? 96, verse 6 to 9, to verse 6 all the way to the 9. So we'll know what time period that we're living in now.
Okay.
So America, hallelujah, when America starts turning against Israel, that's getting ready the war. Well, let's see why we need to intercede. And message, the angel's message, 96, verse 6 to all the way to verse 9. What does this angel he has brought to us in this generation? What is he saying? Verse 6.
Why do so many shrink from the way of truth and light? Search the words I bring, study them. In them some think they do well to follow, but are slow to understand. For all Christendom must flow together in truth. Proclaim this among the people. The great day of the Lord is near at hand, and the powers that destroy. Then them that destroy the earth shall swing wide in the wind of war, strife, and bloodshed, filling the earth with woe. As the power of evil builds for destruction, the way of God will swell in the hearts of the righteous, honest and humble of the Lord. Lo, the Lord has waited long for his bidden ones to awaken and press forward in preparing their lives for the great things to transpire and build the kingdom, the Zion of the Lord among mankind, but they have failed. Thus he looked to the remnant that he shall fulfill his work.
Amen. Yeah. Anybody? Wow. We'll use all our time. But that's okay. We got to give this warning to people because the Lord has sent his angel and commanded us. So we got to fulfill this now.
Mm-hmm.
Look what it says. Proclaim this to the who?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, proclaim
this because this is serious. This is very serious.
Amen.
because we have done this. The Church of Christ have not done this. Listen, this is serious. He says, in a way of a commandment and a commission, he says, what? Proclaim this among the what?
The people.
The people. What? Do what?
The great day of the Lord is near at hand.
Mm-hmm.
No, we need to read that again because I don't think we understood it. What are we supposed to be proclaiming?
That
the great day of the Lord is near at hand, and the power that destroyed them that destroyed the earth shall swing wide in the winds of war, strife, and bloodshed, filling the earth with woe.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
What else?
As the power of evil builds for destruction, the ways of God will swell in the hearts of the righteous, honest, and humble of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Lo, the Lord has waited long for his bidden ones to awake and press forward in preparing their lives for greater things to transpire and build the kingdom, the Zion of the Lord among mankind. But they have failed. Thus he looked to the remnant that he shall fulfill his work.
Amen.
Now, what do you get out of that? Those three important things that said. What do you glean from that warning that he brings to it? What do you get from that?
You want us to warn the people, you know, that mm-hmm. That you know that Jesus is on his way, you know, back, you know, to the earth to proclaim his bride, and he warned the people about, you know, those that destroy the earth, it's gonna be a lot of bloodshed and wars and strife, and it's gonna fill the whole earth. So that's what's happening now.
Mm-hmm.
He said the power of evil build for destruction. So the people that right now the powers is united, and they building for the destruction. They're like the wars over in the Middle East, you know, and how lots of peoples are being destroyed. But the God is going to, you know, the ways of God are going to get bigger and in the hearts of God's people, the righteous and the honest and humble of the Lord. They're gonna wake to this greater work and this greater calling. You know, and he was saying that he had waited a long time for his bidding ones, the one that he had invited to come in, you know, and press forward, you know, and preparing their life for greater things to transpire, you know, for they can rebuild the kingdom. You know, that's the design of the Lord. And he said, but they have failed. So he said he got a remedy that he's going to bring forth. So that's what he is doing now. He is bringing forth a remedy right now.
Okay. Elder, you have a word on that, Elder?
Yes, the Lord, you know, he said in the, I think it's the 92nd, 93rd message, in sending the angel messenger to Elijah, he said, I come that all Christendom may flow together. And he said mm-hmm. that it would be the faithful. And so here in this message, when it talks about the way of God will swell in the hearts of the righteous, honest, and humble, that the Lord is telling us who specifically, because God is being specific, that the way of God is going to take a part of in their lives, who the way of God is going to be displayed in the humble and honest and hearted righteous, okay? And he wants us to give this message because he said that the honest, the humble, you know, the righteous and the faithful is going to receive this word. And this is part of the plan to cause all the faithful in Christendom to flow into this way.
Okay. Okay. And yeah. What do they see? That's a good word.
Okay.
Yeah.
Again, the brother was saying that the Lord is giving specific instructions. When he says that though the Lord has waited long for his bidden one, and he's being specific as he's saying, but the people, he has waited long for them. And it came to mind about in the Bible where it talks about that where he prepared this supper and he bid it, you know, his bid wants to come. They didn't. But then he told them, go to the highways and the byways and get keepers, telling us now. So he waited for, you know, I'll just use the word for us, for the people that claim to have the truth, that he's been waiting. It's just like repeats itself over and over throughout the, you know, the book, the word of the Lord, you know, about, you know, even about the revival, that he repeats itself over and over, that he's waited for this and it has not happened. We haven't done anything. But he's saying, awaken and put forward, get up and prepare your lives because great things is going to happen. It's just like Brother talking about, you know, this war between Israel and Hamas. It's a sign. So he's letting us know now that this is a sign. Get up because these things are going to transpire. Get up and build the kingdom, the Zion of the Lord, that are going to be among mankind. That means get us, get this word out there, because, you know, it's kind of like the Lord is saying that I've been waiting and waiting, and I'm tired. Get up and get busy.
Okay. Now,
and he was saying that in number six, he was saying, he said, where is the watchman?
Okay.
You know, and just
where
like Brother Nathaniel was saying that the Lord, he speaks specific in what, you know, he have to say, you know, to his people. And he was asking a question, said, where is the watchman? And he said, why do so many swing from the way of truth and the light I bring? And, you know, he was saying that, you know, like, why do you shy away from, you know, this great truth, you know, and the light, you know, that I bring? And he said, search the words I bring and study them, and them some think they do well to follow, but a slow to understand. And he was saying that, you know, like as we search the word, as we search the scripture, you know, in the things that he's saying and that he have to say, you know, we wouldn't have to let circumstances and different things cause us to shy away from this great truth. You know, just like I have heard Brother Lee say a lot of times, why haven't we spoke on this thing, or why we're not teaching on this and we're not teaching on that? And, you know, and it's because we do not want to come into obedience and receive that part of the truth that, you know, that God, you know, have laid out, you know, before us. And he was saying that all Christians must flow together in the truth, you know, in the truthness of his word, that when and direction, you know, for his people. Because he was saying in the word of the Lord, you know, that if you believe in the prophet, say you will believe in my coming. And, you know, and he don't want us to, you know, to shy away and, you know, from this great truth because of how people might think or feel, you know, that we are not, of God.
Amen.
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 Now, this is the final message when he tells us all Christians must flow together in righteousness and other parts of it. He said, in truth and in righteousness upon the word of our God. Now, then he says, understand that Satan is gathering his and as you look in the earth, there's people taking sides.
Yeah.
And alliances are being made spiritually and politically right now. And the church of the Antichrist, the false church, is aligning itself and gathering people from all over the earth into their. But the angel said in Message 13, the day they come, there will be two churches or two groups, the church of Christ and the church of the devil. What do that mean? Then it goes in Message, the angel says in Message 29, he explains this gathering in two groups. And he also warns America about other things that would occur. Now, notice what he says. This, I think, that we have overlooked many times. Verse 7, proclaim this. He's telling us what we have to proclaim as a people that he's bringing this message to, who call themselves the Church of Christ with Elijah's message. What? Proclaim this among the people.
Yeah.
Blow the trumpet in Zion. Are we blowing or telling this what he told us to proclaim? Proclaim this among the people, the nation, mm-hmm. and to Israel.
Yeah.
The great day, then he tells us what the, we need to be proclaiming. Proclaim this. The great day
of
the Lord is here in hand.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Then he says, and the powers that destroy them that destroy the earth, what are they going to do? Shall swing wide
in the wind,
in the winds of war.
Yeah.
Strike, bloodshed, filling the earth with woe. Now, that part we are not, don't want to do. Even though he commanded us to do this.
Right, amen.
This is not what I feel like. This is what he told us to proclaim.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
See, we have to proclaim all of it.
That's right.
And when he gave us this commission, proclaim this among the nation, or proclaim this among the people.
Yeah.
Have we done this?
No.
Proclaim this among the people.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, Isaiah 6 said, Joel 2 said, proclaim it in all the earth. So all
Amen.
The day of the Lord's wrath or anger has come. And then he tells us, them that are gathered together, the powers that be, who are the powers of evil? Well, it's the Antichrist, anti-gospel nation.
Mm-hmm.
It's the communist nations. It's the Muslim nation. See, they're gathered together. See, who are the enemies of Israel? The same enemies are the enemies of America. Get this straight. The same enemies that are attacking Israel are the enemies of America and the enemies of Christians. Now, you may not get it.
That's true. It's the truth.
You may not perceive this, but it's happening right now before our eyes.
Amen.
To warn the people and warn the nation about what was going to take place so they could get ready and awake. Now, he said, blow the trumpet in Zion.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he said that the powers that's getting ready to destroy the earth, well, we won't talk about that. We don't want to talk about that. Well, God told us to talk
about it. In about a couple of minutes, bro.
Okay.
Amen.
I mean, Jesus commanded us to tell this.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
He said, they get ready to fill the earth with bloodshed and woe, to fill the earth with bloodshed and the winds of war. You see the winds of war working now? North Korea, China, Russia, Iran.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
That's why they don't like me to get on Facebook and I start giving this warning. They don't like that. And the church of Christ is silent. I said they're silent. Only a few people dare to give the warning. So if we don't give the warning, then the blood gonna be on our hands.
That's
true.
So let us wake up and stir up.
Because
the love of God will the love of God will constrain us.
Amen.
So tomorrow night, may the Lord bless us as we pray and ask what the Lord we should intercede about. Since we have the time, the opportunity to proclaim the warning. Lord, we love because Jesus loved all mankind, and he proclaiming a wake up call. The midnight cry is at hand. Warren, awaken. Israel is a sign. Hamas is a sign. And we'll talk about the sign is right before. And all nations are turning against Israel. You're going to see more and more. They're going to turn against Netanyahu when he says, we're not stopping the war. We're not stopping. And he's making the right decision. He's making the scriptural decision. So, Father, as we end this verse, let all the nations of the earth know the time is come at hand. The Lord is soon to come, and the earth is about to be filled with bloodshed and war. And shall we stand in that day in the security of our Lord and not fear. Because the Lord shall be our shield, our buckler, and our high tower. And Lord, we're not going to escape by a rapture, but the Lord can preserve his people and stand them in the holy place.
Mm-hmm.
Well, see you tomorrow night, if the Lord permit us, as we gather together, keep interceding for the nations of the earth.
Praise the Lord. Thank God for another blessed broadcast. And as my brother said, tomorrow night we will be back once again at 7 p.m. So once again, we love y'all. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.
God bless. Amen. Bless.
Trying to get a good watch on her. Got first down. $2.29. All right, kind of a devastating blow early on for the Chiefs. They just hit a big play. Finally, something happened. Taylor Swift's going crazy, but that would bring us to here. They're inside the 10-yard line. Their offense hasn't gotten much going so far, but here we go. So when this play begins, what you're going to notice is that, I mean, it was a, you know, right here, what's going to happen. To be honest, I kind of thought Pacheco was going to score. He only had one guy he had to make miss, and he was in pretty good position to do so, but that's what he's focused on, right? He has the one guy he has to make miss. If he does, he's going to be into the end zone. It's worth noting, 83 for the Kansas City Chiefs, that's Noah Gray, the backup tight end who's in here to block. So why don't you watch there? Why don't you watch that black circle? That's the main key thing to watch here. Look at how it's going to eventually end up with number two gets free, he forces the fumble. I'll show this other angle to really kind of explain what it is. Again, you see Lenore, number two, at the bottom left-hand corner of the screen. That's why I didn't get the ball, so he was pumped up about that. However, we then saw that this happened. So you see him getting really angry at Andy Reid. You might be wondering, well, what's going on there? This was because he wasn't in the game on that play. That's why he was so frustrated. And, of course, it's worth mentioning the guy who was blocking on the play, who missed the block and kind of led to the fumble, was Travis Kelce's backup. He was in on that play because Kelce wasn't. Now, I couldn't tell, they didn't mention on the broadcast if this was before or after the fumbles. I don't know if this was because he was frustrated that they fumbled and it was a missed block by Noah Gray, or if he just doesn't like to be taken out of the game. It's hard to say for sure, but either way, definitely an interesting situation to develop here.
It's Jack Sturton, 15. Chiefs meet the Mahomes, 50. Launching down the middle, Hill, open, caught. And they get it, Kansas City, the big play. A 44 yards, pressure by Buckner. And Mahomes gets it downfield finally. He gets the pressure down the field all the way on Jimmy Ward. And once you threaten him, he's one-on-one on the safety. Now, you got to have time in the pocket in order to deliver that throw. And he got it. He hung in there. I think it was Bosa who was maybe coming off the edge to his left. But he had time. Bob held up. Huge play on third down. Now one toward the end zone and incomplete for Hill. That 44-yard completion to Tyreek Hill, who needs to catch his breath on the sideline, the longest play of this Super Bowl so far.
Yeah, he had to wait on it. I think it was DeForest Buckner that actually was the one who applied the pressure. But look at that. I mean, if you're Jimmy Ward, you've got Tyreek Hill who runs the 4-2, and he's barreling down on you, and the quarterback has time in the pocket. I mean, you're starting to get a little nervous. And he comes out of that, and he goes to the sideline. He kept waiting for that. And I don't care how much you want to try to play coverage, you're playing soft down. You don't get to the quarterback, they have those chances. Second down and 10 for Mahomes. Not too funny. Okay. Armstead and Bosa this time. And that'll bring up third down and 10.
And then I tell you that all the men reach to know things and whether they see it or not.
Okay.